So building the house, Mark 12, verse 29, it says, Jesus answered, the foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God. We bless you this morning, Lord. We're so thankful for, God, these babies, God, that you entrust us with. And we're so grateful, God. We're in awe, Lord, of the responsibility. But we know, Holy Spirit, that you're going to help us at every step of the way, every stage of these children's lives, Lord. And so we thank you, God, for allowing us to dedicate them to you. Lord, now we come humbly to your word, God, and we ask you to speak to us through it, Lord. To that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, Amen. Amen. And so as we continue in this series, I'll make a quick announcement. For the next four Friday nights, and that's usually the time that Intercessor Prayer Team has their meeting, for the next four Friday nights, we're going to ask the house to come together to pray, and we're going to be praying leading up to our retreat that's coming up in the beginning of October. So starting this Friday at 8 o'clock, and then for all the Fridays, in this month of September, we're going to be gathering together. So please come, 8 o'clock, and let's really seek God's face together for really an encounter with the Lord. And that's really what we sense God doing for us, is really getting us ready to encounter Him. This week, as in the announcements, is also house churches are starting. And this is our primary agent by which we want to see change and transformation and church life really lived out within house church. And house church is starting, retreat coming up. We want to be at a place where we position ourselves for really an encounter with Him, an encounter with God, an encounter with one another, and really an encounter with ourselves. It's kind of wrapped up in our theme, to know Him, to be like Him, and to make Him known. But we realize that when we talk about positioning ourselves for an encounter, the greatest obstacle that you are going to face is not a demon. I say it again. The greatest obstacle that you will face when we talk about encountering the Lord, of really wanting to come into an experiential reality of God and who He is and His character and His heart, the greatest obstacle is not going to be a demon. The greatest obstacle is going to be yourself. So turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking, and be really nice to one another. But say, hey, good looking, your greatest obstacle is you. Okay, go ahead. Listen, it won't be a powerful demon. They'll have some role in this, but ultimately it will be us. In Mark 12 that we just read, it's the greatest commandment Jesus calls out. He's actually borrowing this from Deuteronomy. It's in the Jewish side, the Shema. And he comes to this place and he says, and I want to suggest to you, there's actually three commandments wrapped up here. There's the one commandment where it says, love your God with everything, love your neighbor, and then love yourself. So I want to talk about the third one. I think we know quite well the first and second one, but I want to talk about the third one a little bit, this idea of loving ourselves. Now, there's a healthy love of self that Jesus mentions here, but we're also aware that there is a very sinister love of self that is many times often masked in layers of spirituality. A healthy love of self is really, God created me. This is who I am. I don't need plastic surgery, even though I'm Korean. I don't need it. You know, I love what God has created. My personality, it's a gift of the Lord. I'm different than other people. I am uniquely created, wonderfully created by the Lord. That's a good love of self. I was when I went to the retreat in San Francisco, I stayed at Pastor Benjamin's home the first night that we came in. I actually was so sick. I got so sick on the flight going to San Francisco. When I came that Thursday night, I couldn't sleep. I had the chills all night long. I was missing my wife so bad. I was shaking in bed, and I woke up so late as a result of being sick. But I saw a picture of Pastor Sunhee on the refrigerator of their house. And I said, "Is that you?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, a long time ago, I was much skinnier than I am now." And I was like, "Oh, you're in great shape right now. You must have been really skinny back then." And so she says, "Yeah, when I married Benjamin, I had a six-pack." You know, for some of you guys that know, her stomach was ripped for you non-athletes out there. And so I was like, "Wow." And then I relayed to her, and I says, "Yeah, you know what? I had a six-pack until my first daughter was born, until Olivia was born, because then I couldn't really exercise that much. I felt too guilty going out and playing. I needed to stay home and help my wife." And so, you know, they were like, "Wow." And Pastor Benjamin says, "Yeah, I had a six-pack, and then I drank it." And so that was his comment. I was laughing so hard the whole weekend. All right, so you're going to love the retreat. In fact, I mean, the guy is so crazy. Did you know he started doing stand-up? So he's been going to comedy clubs all over San Francisco. And at first I thought, because, like, you want to reach people in the comedy industry. And it's like, no, I just want to do stand-up. There's no other ulterior motive. So he entered a contest. It was like amateur night. There were like 30 comedians. Some of them were professionals. And he won. It's just crazy. He's actually doing a like 1-hour video. This is companies. I mean, Comedy Central actually gave him a card and said, "Hey, man, you know, let's work together." I was just the guy, just so funny and things. And so, I mean, he's also very spiritual. And so you're gonna enjoy the retreat. But I was laughing the whole weekend while we're together. But let me go back to this. So there's a healthy love of self. But there's also, like I said, a very sinister love of self. And I love this quote. It's one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis. And it's in his book, The Screwtape Letters. And he says, he's talking about self, and he said, "It's the ruthless, sleepless, unsmiling concentration on self that is the mark of hell." It's the ruthless, sleepless, unsmiling concentration on self that is the mark of hell. And we need to be honest in saying that, man, it's true. What gets in the way of us and God many times is ourselves. And not necessarily ourselves, but it's really our selfishness, or a better way put, our self-centeredness. Our life revolves around ourselves. Now, in the church, we got to be really, really careful of this, because the enemy comes to us and he elevates self. But it's masked in this layer of spirituality. And what I simply call it is spiritual entitlement. We feel so entitled. We say things like, "Lord, I'm showing up to the retreat. You better give me something. Like, I deserve something because I showed up. Lord, I fasted this year. And so because I fasted for 21 days with my church, you better answer my prayers. You know, you better do this. I showed up for morning prayer. So you better sure answer, you know, my request in this way." And it's this spiritual entitlement that we live into. "Lord, because I'm here, you owe me something." In other words, it's all about me. It's not about him. It's about me. It's like a 2-year-old that is so demanding of their parents, and their whole life revolves around that little 2-year-old. Many of us are, in reality, we are that 2-year-old. In many ways, that little 2-year-old has become the center of the universe. The entire world must revolve around his needs, his wants, and his desires. In many ways, that's us in our relationship with the Father. Listen, as a new believer, I mean, you're new to the church, you're new to the faith. Yeah, of course. You're a baby. It's okay to be like a baby. We wouldn't expect a baby to change their own diapers or to feed themselves. Of course not. But at some point in our relationship, there needs to be a shift that occurs. At some point, we need to go, and this is what we're talking about, spiritual maturity. We need to go from being about me to being about him. Bill Hybels, he says, go from a meist to a deist. I heard this, I think, from a black preacher. And he said, we got to go from my way to Yahweh. Go from me-centered to Christ-centered. In other words, my world revolves around me, instead of saying, no, my world revolves around Christ. At some point, there needs to be a shift. And brothers and sisters, when that shift doesn't occur, we begin to continue to walk in spiritual immaturity. We got to go from a belief that says, God is for me, God is for my plans, God is for my agenda in this world, to the place where we give up our lives and our dreams, and we completely surrender to Him. See, if we really understand who God is, and we really know who He is, surrender becomes very easy. You know why? Simply put, is because we're surrendering to a God who loves us, to a God that can only do good, to a God really that wants the best for us. Sometimes we don't even know what's best for us. You know, sometimes I think about this, and I think about the prayers that I prayed when I was younger. Sometimes I look back and I say, God, thank God you didn't answer some of those prayers. I would have been married to some knucklehead right now. You know what I mean? I prayed, Lord, you know, this is the one. And I mean, so many, I didn't even know what I wanted. You know what I mean? Thank God, God chose what was best for me. And only God has that insight. And so when we think about God in that way, and we have the right idea of who He is, in who He is, then it's actually quite easy to surrender. It's easy to say, Lord, I give up my dreams. It doesn't necessarily mean my dreams die, but your dreams are so much bigger than mine. And so, Lord, I sign up for your dreams that are much more, much better than I can ever imagine. He is able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we could ever ask or imagine. We need to do that. Martin Luther, he says it in his own way so beautifully. He says, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. A religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. See, I'm going to give you a strategy today of how to get out of self. I want to relay something to you that takes you completely out of a self-centered reality when it really becomes about other people. Here's the biblical principle I'm giving you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. It's the kenosis passage. He says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he lays it out there. He says, don't do anything so selfish. It's not just your own ambition, but with humility of mind, this is a key. Regard others as more important than yourself. Brothers and sisters, if we lived our life and we simply did that, you would never lack friends. You would never be lonely. If we lived our life in such a way that said, I'm going to live for other people. And the reason why Paul could write something like that, because he was thinking about this person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's how Jesus lived his life. And if we're to be like him, that's how we should live our lives as well. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests. In other words, it didn't say don't ever look out for your own personal interests, but don't merely only look out for your own personal interests, but also for this interest of others. Be other-focused in this way. If we're to pursue the attitude of Christ, it will require that we get out of ourselves. You know, honestly, this is why I push people to get married. And, in a nice way. And I want everyone to get married. Just once, okay? But I really do. Because marriage is really this incredible incubator of the way to live for others. If two people come into a marriage and they just live for themselves, that's a crap marriage. I mean, they're going to be fighting all the time. It's about, this is what I want, this is what I want, and so on and so forth. But marriage is this God-given incubator. We come into this place, and for marriage, when it really works, is when the husband says, I live for you. And the wife says, no, I live for you. And it's this interplay of really living for one another in this regard. And that's when marriage becomes beautiful. It's what I call God's discipleship plan of life. He in life, in just living daily lives, he interjects discipleship just simply through the process of life. And so we encourage that all the time. You know, I tell you, in my own life, a shift happened even with relationship with my wife. Some of you guys, you know, I've shared this story many times before, but for some of you who are new here, I could repeat it here. My wife, we've been married very wonderfully for 14 years. Just can't believe it's been 14 years already. And so, you know, God's given us four wonderful children as along with our marriage. But surprisingly enough, when I first had my eyes on Lisa, she didn't like me at all. And that's still like the mystery of the universe. I'm still trying to figure that out, why that is. But she would have nothing to do with me. It's probably because the first time I met her, I actually rebuked her. And so, you know, learn from me. Don't ever rebuke someone that whom you want to have a relationship with. You know, it's going to kind of backfire on you. And so that's kind of what happened. And so early on, I would pray, obviously, and I would say, basically, sometimes the questions were kind of, you know, like, God, what's wrong with her? You know, why doesn't she like me? I mean, you know, what's going on in her head? You know, surely I'm the man for her life. And then it turned after more, you know, months of frustration, prayers turned into, God, just make her like me. Like, this is easy for you. You can do it. You can just snap your finger and you can just make her like me. And then one day I had this amazing shift and I realized that, you know what? I actually really, really love Lisa. And in my quiet time, this is my little prayer. I said, God, I want the best for Lisa. And so if I'm not the best, I think I am, but if I'm not, because you always have to be honest in your prayers, right? I think, but if I'm not, Lord, get me out of the way and bring the man that is going to be the best for her. And it was a very difficult prayer to pray. But it was a very righteous, probably the only righteous prayer I prayed in the whole 2 years when I was pursuing my wife at that time. And that's what I said. I said, God, basically I just said, Lord, I surrender. I realize, you know what, I really do love this woman. And I want the best for her. And so if I'm not the best, Lord, take me out of the picture. And you bring God's best for her. In Jesus' name, amen. And I put it on the altar, and I literally prayed walking away from this relationship. And this is just like God to do this. Within 2 hours, she called me for the first time ever. It's crazy. Like, I didn't even know she had my phone number. And she, out of the blue, after I got out of self. In other words, I wanted someone else's interests. I pursued that before I pursued my own interests. And when we move into that space, maybe it just allows God to work more. I don't know. It's still one of those things to just try to figure out. But it's a beautiful shift that occurs. And I imagine that many of you, when you got married, that shift happened. And you realized, you know what, this person actually just doesn't want what's best for them. This person wants what's best for me. I think I'm going to marry this person. And usually that's how the love stories continue on. Right? This is really what I'm talking about in essence is the beauty of sacrifice. It's the beauty of laying down your own life on behalf of others. It's something that really is so deep in our hearts. This idea of sacrifice, when someone sacrifices themselves for others, it does something to us emotionally. It does something to us psychologically. Do you remember a few years ago, and I'm not talking about Jesus on the cross, even though that's the greatest sacrifice of all, but do you remember a few years ago when tourists went to the Philippines? I remember a terrorist went into the bus and just killed a whole bunch of Hong Kong. It was really, really sad chapter in the life of Hong Kong in this regard. I mean, that's in my time when I was here. And do you remember the story of the husband that actually was out and he went back in And then when the guys were, you know, police all messed everything up, and he went and he covered his wife and his kids, and he died protecting his family. Do you remember that story? It was so incredible. And Hong Kong people were moved by that story of this husband that loved his wife and his family so much that when the machine guns were going, he actually put himself in harm's way and he covered his wife and his kids so they could be protected. And obviously, he died in the midst of that. And there were news stories and media, and man, it was such a beautiful, beautiful picture. See, there's something about sacrifice that moves in our heart because God created us. God's all about sacrifice. And when we hear these human stories of people actually sacrificing, even giving up their lives, it does something to us. You know, I have, as an American, I have so much respect for our military. I mean, you may not agree with the policies and whatnot, but man, young men and young women that go out and protect and fight and put their life on the line for other people so we can have certain freedoms that we enjoy. I respect our military people. They're just something. They have something inside of them. It's that hard to say, I'm going to give up my life. And for me, you know, I'm a man, but I cry once in a while. And I tell you, there's a couple times I cry. One, I cry during the Olympics. I don't know why, but whenever they go up to do the medals, and it doesn't matter what country they are, and they put the medal on them, you know, it's just something about all their hard work, and now, because, you know, the biblical mandate, suffering and then glory. And so they suffered, and now they're coming to that place of glory. You know, another way, if you really, you know, my heart gets really soft, is every once in a while on ESPN.com, the greatest website in the world, on ESPN.com, they show when they have like these children will go out to the pitching mound and they throw the first ball, and then the guy will be catching the first ball and it ends up being the dad, you know, that they kind of disguise. And then he takes off the mask, and the kids are crying, and they jump on them, you know, on the dad who's in the military. I love those scenes. You know, it just warms my heart to see that, because here are these men and these women, you know, risking their lives, leaving their families behind. You know what I mean? That's sacrifice. It's heart. You know, God bless troops in all countries, all over the world, that are paying the price for us to walk and have freedom. It's such an amazing thing. You know, we're touched by this. It's the beauty of sacrifice, of living our life, not just for ourselves, but for other people. Let me share a story. It is said that Cyrus, who is the founder of the Persian Empire, who's also actually written in the book of Isaiah, and Cyrus, he once captured a prince and his family. And when the family came before him, Cyrus asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" And his reply was, "Half of my wealth." And Cyrus responded to the prince, and he said, "Well, and if I release your children, what will you give me?" And the prince replied, "Everything I have." And then Cyrus looked at the prince and said, "And what will you give me if I release your wife?" And the prince replied, "Your Majesty, I will give you myself." Cyrus was so moved by the devotion of this prince that he freed them all. And as they were returning home in the caravan, the prince said to his wife, "Wasn't Cyrus a handsome man?" And with a look of deep love for her husband, she said to him, "I didn't notice. I could only keep my eyes on you, the one who is willing to give himself for me." I hope this story is true, because it's beautiful. You know, sometimes, you know, you get these quotes and stuff, but I hope this happened, because this is beautiful. This wasn't Cyrus a handsome man? "Oh, I didn't notice. I could only keep my eyes on you, the one who is willing to give himself for me." I can't wait till my wife asks me that question. I have the perfect line. "I only have eyes for you." this beautiful thing. Let me give you the biblical principle. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. For I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Isn't that beautiful? Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I live, not for myself. I now live for God. Why? Because he died and he delivered himself up for me. Not only does God work discipleship within our life processes, but God also brings the church along to be his agent for discipleship, for community, for love, for care, and for work. When we talk about serving, talk about serving the house, we talk about making a contribution, what we're really talking about behind the scenes of all that is get out of self. Sacrifice. Do something not for yourself, but do something for other people. Don't just have a life just so fixed on me, myself, and on my needs. It's everything what I need. And instead of go outward and say, what do other people need? What does the church need? What do my leaders need? And then you serve out of that place. It's sacrificial living in that regard. It's beautiful. You know, we have this week house churches beginning. And so this is our time to get plugged in and to set ourselves in community, to get out of ourselves and minister to one another, live life together in that regard. And so I listed here, and these are four, I did this a long time ago, but four types of house church members. And I want to say this by saying, don't be one of them, okay? Don't be one of them. The first one of these people is the 7-Eleven house church member. Turn to your neighbor and say 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven. You guys know what 7-Eleven is. It's the convenience store. This is a 7-Eleven house church member. The key is convenience. In other words, this house church member, they only come when it's convenient for them. When there's nothing else on their schedule, in other words, it's not about a commitment to a group of people. It's not about a commitment to a house. It has nothing to do with that. It's just like, well, is my schedule free? You know, oh, I don't have a workout tonight. You know, I don't have Chinese class tonight. You know, I don't have a movie night. Whatever it is, whatever goes on, that you only come when it's convenient, when it works out in your schedule, and when you're not tired or have to sleep early that night. Sometimes you conveniently book yourselves classes and meetings, so it's inconvenient for you to come to house church. This is a 7-Eleven house church member. It's all about convenience. In other words, again, it's all about me. Does it work in my schedule? It's not about outward focus at all. Number two, so a 7-Eleven member. Number two is the World Cup house church member. Tell your other neighbor to say World Cup. World Cup. Now, I'll be honest, I'm a World Cup fan. I'm not a fan of football. I'm a fan of American football, but I'm not a fan of football, what we say in Asia, or what we say in other parts, soccer. But I'm a World Cup fan, and that's what this is like. A World Cup house church member is you only get involved or come when it's a big, fun event. In other words, it's like dinner night, packed house, man. It's like bowling night. Hey, house church, we're going to get together, we're going to do bowling night, and then you show up. It's a dinner out at a nice restaurant, it's the junk trip, it's the movie night, but a thoughtful, worshipful night at house church is just not fun enough. Sorry, I only come when it's World Cup time. I only come when it's the big event, when we're having dinner, when there's free food around, and something like that. In other words, I'm not really a fan of house church, I'm just a fan of hanging out. It makes me feel good. In other words, it's still all about me. So World Cup house church member. Number three, this is really sad. But three is the Casanova Delilah house church member. So you know where we're going with this one, right? the Casanova, that's the male part, or the Delilah, that's the female aspect, house church member. In other words, you only come to meet people, especially of the opposite sex, for potential marriage partners. Let's be honest. We've seen plenty of Casanovas and Delilahs in our time. You know, we think, oh, we say very spiritually, I think God is leading me to go to this house church, which happens to have a lot of eligible bachelors in it. You know, if we're going to be honest, many of us are more led by our hormones than we're led by Jesus Christ. And you could repeat that. I said that, yeah. Right? Many times we're led more by our hormones than we are by the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're basically going to meet people. Now, the person that you want to meet should be Jesus. But it's not Jesus. It's some other man or some other woman in that regard. So it's the Casanova Delilah member. Number four, this is, now, you need to be a little older to understand this one, okay? And actually, you need to be a little older and a little hip. So you could be an old hip guy if you get this one. And so number four, this is a De La Soul house church member. Some of you guys understand what I'm saying? De La Soul was a rap group back in the 80s. And they had a rap song called Me, Myself, and I. Do you remember that song? All right, some of you guys, okay, you guys are way too young for me. It's okay. But it's me, myself, and I. In other words, it's all about me. This is the De La Soul house church member. You expect others to be there for you, but you are not there for others. Every dinner, every house church, right, you eat, you're part of it, but when it's your turn to buy, you either go missing in action or you complain. This happens all the time, brothers and sisters. You're De La Soul. It's me, myself, and I. You enjoy everyone else's labor and sacrifice, but you're unwilling to labor or sacrifice yourself. Even something simple like cleanup duty. You know, it's so sad. So you guys know at our church, we don't have a janitor. Because we believe that this is our house. This is like our living room here. We should all be cleaning up. And so we slate house churches in between service to clean up. And it's so sad. Usually, well, now they're on two-week rosters. But back in the days, it used to be on one-month roster. And I would see, and it's usually the leaders, they would be cleaning every single Sunday. And I would ask them, I says, why are you cleaning up all the time? That's not really one of our values. Our values is all hands on deck. You shouldn't be the ones, you know. And my idea is don't steal other people's opportunity to serve the house. And they say, P. Sam, we ask people. They don't want to clean. They don't sign up. You know, they sign up for junk trips, but they don't sign up to clean the house. It's just a simple thing. And leaders and a few people are doing it every service, every single week. Don't be De La Soul house church member. It's all about you. You just want to be served all the time and unwilling to lift a finger to serve other people. It's sad. It's self-centeredness at the core. Your inability to inconvenience yourselves on the behalf of other people. And no wonder we're not growing in this regard. No wonder. Oscar Wilde, he said this. He said, selfishness is not living as one wishes to live. It is asking others to live as one wishes to live. Did you catch that? He says, selfishness is not living as one wishes to live, or is asking others to live as one wishes to live. It's being hypocritical. It's wanting to be served all the time. Serve me, serve me, serve me. Give me, give me, give me. And when it's your turn to serve, no, I don't want to. Give out, no. I'm just going to be a receiver. I'm not going to be a contributor. That's De La Soul. That's not what we want when we think about these communities. See, sometimes we go for the grand gesture, you know, these big things. I want to suggest to you that we die to ourselves in little things, which become big things. And we die to ourselves every week by being a part of a small community. We die to ourselves by serving in some form or fashion. In serving the house, either in your house church or in the big house in some way. There's plenty of opportunities to serve. But those are little things that we can do that help us in getting us out of ourselves. And the great thing is when we do this, really we're becoming like Jesus. We really give of ourselves. I tell you, this week we have a great opportunity to join a part of a small group called House Church. And this is not really a commercial for that whatnot, but you know, it just kind of fit quite nicely with everything here. But you get to be a part of a community. There are people that are sacrificing for you every week by getting their home ready for you. Someone sacrificing by preparing food so we can fellowship and eat together. Someone sacrificed by preparing the discussions and then the work and for us to come together in that regard. And it's this little pockets communities every single week that we can give of ourselves, or we take ourselves as the first priority and say, you know what, I'm tired tonight, I don't want to come, but I think someone might need me there. I think it might be important that I show up, that there could be some ministry that happens there. God could give me a word for that person. You know, God may use me to pray and release breakthrough in some way. But you got to show up in that regard. It's these little sacrifices that bring us to that place. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, let's close our eyes. Now, I gave us an avenue by which to sacrifice, which is today House Church. But it's much more than that. When we talk about serving, the heart of it is sacrifice. God put that in our DNA. It's prized. It flows out of the heart of the Father. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Honestly, does your life revolve around yourself? Your needs, your want, your dreams? And even when we pray, we say, God, bless my dreams, bless what I want, bless the desires of my heart. Are we moving to a place where we say, God, I just want you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you as the worship team leads us in a song.
Devotion, be yours
Today is the first Sunday of the month, and so it's our communion Sunday as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. I want to invite the ushers to come. Let me read from the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, but does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep." So the scriptures tell us to examine ourselves as we partake of the elements. Our ushers will be passing the elements out, and so please carefully take it and hold on to them, and then we'll take it together as a community. But in the meantime, as the worship team leads us in worship, I want you to spend that moment examine yourselves, especially in the prayer point that I talked about as I ended my sermon. The idea of, man, am I living a God-centered life? Or is my life really about me? And keep dialoguing with the Lord on that, okay?
Forever.
Is there anyone who's not yet received the elements? When we close our eyes and bow our heads and just take a moment to reflect. Jesus Christ denied himself and went on the cross and paid for our sins. And now he looks to us as a church and asks, will you also live for others? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Spend a moment to thank the Lord for what he has done for us. Pray, Lord, we thank you, God. Lord, you humble yourself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And we come, God, today to thank you, to bless you, to worship you, God, to show our gratitude to you. Lord, not just simply through this act, God, but in also every single day, God, living our lives not just for ourselves, God, but for others just like you. And so we thank you, God. We thank you for the reminder, Lord, today. We thank you for your body beaten for us, your blood poured out. We humble ourselves, Lord. Lord, we bless you. Let's take together. This is Christ's body broken for you, and this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Able, let's rise to our feet and let's sing this together as we close our service.
Forevermore, unbroken praise be yours, God.
Let's pray. And as we do that, can you grab someone's hand next to you? Let's do exactly what we talked about. Let's pray for somebody else besides ourselves. And I encourage you to pray for the person on the left and right of you. Just pray for God's best. Pray that they would literally disappear so that Jesus Christ could be found in them and would flourish through them. And let's just lift each other up right now.
So let my deeds outrun my words. Let my life outweigh my songs. So let my deeds outrun my words. Let my life outweigh my songs. Unbroken.
Let's pray together. God, at the heart of this, God, we want to be like you, Jesus. Or we want to embody, God, your character, God, your goodness, your works through our lives, God. Come and take our broken, battered lives, Lord, and make it something beautiful, God. Only you do things like that, God. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us an example, God, that we ought to look not just for our own personal interests, God, but also the interests of others, Lord. God, and you give us opportunities, God, every week, Lord. God, be it through house church, in our families, in our work. God, on Sunday, at church, you give us so many opportunities, God, to live for somebody else besides just ourselves. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, God, and you continue to disciple us and mature us, Lord, as we desire, God, and long to be like you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. We love you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.